Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today on this Thanksgiving holiday, we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. As Americans sit down to their traditional Thanksgiving meal, we'll begin with the working poor who comprise most of the people on food stamps, and they have just had their meager allotment cut by the Republican Congress. So we'll look into the issues of hunger, food policy, and the growing ranks of the working poor who do not make a living wage and have to depend on food stamps and food banks. Rebecca Smith, the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project, joins us to discuss the two biggest employers of the working poor, McDonald's and Walmart, who are attracting protests on this Thanksgiving and the following day of frenzied consumption known as Black Friday. Then we will speak with Lucio Guerrero, the Vice President of Communications for Feeding America, the nation's leading hunger relief organization and fourth largest charity. We will discuss the growing demand at food banks since the recent cut, with more to come in food stamps, and the work that Feeding America does in feeding 37 million Americans each year, including 14 million children and 3 million seniors. Then finally, we'll speak with Josh Sewell, the senior policy analyst at Taxpayers for Common Sense, about the nation's agriculture policy that has Congress increasing subsidies for agribusiness while cutting food stamps for the poor and hungry. Since corn was a gift from the Native Americans to the Pilgrims on that first Thanksgiving, we will look into how much our agriculture has been distorted since then, with 60% of crop insurance going to growing corn, making this now largely inedible crop the largest recipient of farm subsidies at a cost to taxpayers of $85 billion in less than 20 years. And joining us now is Rebecca Smith, who's the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project, where she focuses on international human and labor rights, immigrants and work, enforcement of workplace standards, and unemployment insurance. She has testified before Congress and several state legislatures on these issues and has an article at the Huffington Post, Working Poor This Thanksgiving. Welcome to Background Briefing on this Thanksgiving, Rebecca Smith.
Thank you very much, Ian. I'm very happy to be here.
And this, is, of course, is an embarrassment, really, to think of how on this day when people are feasting and being joined by family, and it is truly one of the, I think, the nicest American rituals, and it so far has not been commercialized. However, what you're pointing out in your Huffington Post article is that there's an awful lot of people who make up the working poor who simply cannot afford to have the ritual Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is really my favorite holiday, and it is a time when we sit down with our family and enjoy our friends and have a really nice meal together. And this year, that ritual has really been turned into another shopping day. And I guess what is most concerning to me is the impact on the workers at Walmart and other stores who aren't able to spend Thanksgiving at home with their family and instead are stocking shelves and working the cash register.
And, of course, the Black Friday, the day after, is already being advertised, and that is in stark contrast to the sort of family values of the day before Thanksgiving. The day after, you know, people go crazy and step over each other, right? It's not exactly an attractive sight, is it?
No, it isn't. And this year we have Walmart really deciding to get a jump on that view of our country on Black Friday by making a treasured holiday into Black Thursday for a lot of its employees and sending them off to work.
So how many people in this country are working poor in the sense that, you know, we have, well, first of all, we have 50 million Americans who go hungry each year, and that more than one in five of them are children. But you also have these low-wage workers who are both at Walmart, which is one of the richest companies on the planet, and one of the most startling and disgusting statistics that I've heard is that the Walton family, the heirs to the founder of Walmart, his children, their collective wealth is the equivalent of the combined wealth of 40% of the lower end of Americans. So that is just breathtaking when you think about it.
It is stunning. Walmart's CEO got a compensation package last year that was over $28 million. And you can look at that in one or two ways or more. He earned more than 1,000 of Walmart workers. He earns more in an hour than workers at Walmart earn in a year.
And why is it that they resist giving their workers a living wage? And they are very cynical. I don't know whether you've seen their latest advertising campaigns, but they have their workers. They don't even call them employees. They call them associates. And they're having these people appear in television ads as though they're not bordering on starvation, that they're somehow enjoying the fruits of the American dream, when it's just absolutely not true.
Well, I think one of the most poignant examples was the news that broke a couple of weeks ago now that a store manager in Ohio, in a Walmart in Ohio, put out a food collection box in his store. And, of course, this is also a tradition for Americans this time of year when we collect food and other items for folks who don't have the same luxuries as many of us. But the twist there was that the food collection box was not put out for the hungry and the homeless in that community. It was put out for Walmart's own employees who apparently were going hungry themselves on these holidays.
And again, I'm speaking with Rebecca Smith, who's the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project, where she focuses on international human and labor rights, immigrants and work, enforcement of workplace standards, and unemployment insurance. She has testified before Congress and several state legislatures on these issues and has an article at the Huffington Post, Working Poor This Thanksgiving. But, I mean, the point is here, Rebecca, that we all have a stake in the fact that Walmart does not pay its workers a living wage because they then depend upon public assistance to the tune of about $4 billion annually. And then the second biggest low-wage employer in this country, McDonald's, they base – I don't know what their – I think their public assistance, yeah, their public assistance bill to the citizen and taxpayer is $1.2 billion each year. I mean, presumably these corporate executives who are getting these huge compensation packages that run Walmart and McDonald's, they must know that, I mean, in spite of their touchy-feely ads about how wonderful it is to work for Walmart, they must know this reality. Is this just pure cynicism on their part, or is there – I mean, I know a lot. There are a number of demonstrations planned for Black Thursday and Black Friday at Walmart. But how do you shame these people into doing the right thing?
Well, it's at best a huge disconnect. These CEOs have no inkling what it's like to try to live on the wages that they pay. And I think it does betray some cynicism when they are content to have their employees rely on generosity from coworkers and benefits that the public is paying for just in order to get by and to not be hungry and to have health care.
So why then do people shop at Walmart? I mean, obviously it's because the stuff is cheap or cheaper, but is there any way to make that connection between the fact that you're actually contributing to the poverty of your fellow citizens by shopping there? I mean, my sense, for example, on the political left in this country, most people really don't like what the Koch brothers stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actively involved in trying to buy our politics and move our country to the right, which they've done very successfully. But yet people buy brawny paper towels and Dixie cups, and I just don't understand why it is that we aren't more focused on some kind of consumer boycott. Because if you can't shame these people, that these CEOs, into doing the right thing, then maybe if you affect their bottom line, they'll wake up and do the right thing, not for the right reason, but, you know.
I think at least a couple of things are going on. You mentioned the Walmart advertisements. I think a lot of Americans are taken in by those advertisements, and that's what they see as Walmart. They don't know these horrific statistics on what Walmart workers are earning and how much they are depending on the public to make ends meet in their household. And I think the other thing is that we are becoming a nation more and more of low-wage workers, and so that people see that if this is a place to shop, this is where I can actually afford something for my family. But I also think that more and more people are seeing the huge rise in inequality that we're seeing in this country, and they are starting to react and respond in really important ways. We see workers all around the country going out on one-day strikes. The fast food workers last week, port truck drivers in L.A. were out on strike. We see the Walmart workers, warehouse workers, really calling the public's attention to inequality in this country. And I think thanks to the fast food strikes, starting a conversation among the general public about how wrong this is and how it violates our basic values of equality in this country.
Well, we've already seen, Rebecca Smith, an incredible mean-spiritedness coming from a lot of the Republicans in Congress, particularly the Tea Party types, who have been forcing these cuts in the SNAP program, the food stamp program. And one of them, of course, is a recipient of enormous farm subsidies, this Tennessee Congressman, Stephen Fincher. And he even quotes the Bible in castigating the poor as though they don't work. The point here, and the point of the work that you've done and your article in the Huffington Post, is that these people have jobs. You know, they just don't make enough money. It's not as if they're lazy and they're sponging off their industrious fellow citizens. They're working incredibly hard. It's just that these employers are not paying them a living wage while they're paying themselves vast executive compensations.
Yeah, it's really a false narrative that's been created by the right. You've heard this all about makers and takers. Really, workers are the makers, and when you look at the number, the amount of money that just Walmart and McDonald's relies on from the public to feed and provide health care for their own employees, that becomes really clear. Workers are the makers, and these corporations are the takers. I think the other piece that people are starting to see is this piece about workers working extremely hard but just not able to make ends meet because of the wages that are paid. Jobs in retail and fast food are among the fastest growing jobs that our economy is creating, and 88% of workers who earn less than $10 an hour are adults. These aren't kids that are working in these jobs as some sort of entree to a career. These are career jobs, and we need to care about that, and we need to ensure that the jobs that our economy is creating are good jobs.
But if you factor in the fact that if these executives at Walmart and McDonald's had got less compensation or compensation more in line with most other industrial countries, you know, in Germany, you know, half the members of the boards of directors are unions, so that has an effect on lowering or reducing the wage disparity. In Japan, it's just culturally not acceptable for people to be obscenely overcompensated compared to those workers on the shop floor. Here, we seem to have absolutely no regard for economic fairness. But when you combine the fact that even if these executives kick back a little of their salary to their employees, everybody would be better off. You wouldn't have hungry people showing up to work all day long and have to, you know, rely on handouts. But then the profits go to this family who, as I pointed out earlier, combined, the heirs to Sam Walton, their combined wealth is the equivalent of the entire wealth of the lower 40% of all Americans. So, I mean, surely they could afford to kick back a little bit. How many more executive jets can you own? I mean, what the hell do they do with all that money? There's only, what, four or five of them?
There's a point at which would be impossible in several lifetimes to spend the amount of money that some of these folks are earning. And as you point out, in the case of Walmart, it's one family that's earning that amount of money. And for many corporations, there's really, there's not a rule that says that you have to make a certain amount of profits every year. Employers and these big corporations in particular could trim their profit margins. They could do a number of things that would mean that we wouldn't see these huge gaps between what an average worker earns and what a CEO earns. A lot of people like to talk about Henry Ford in this, when we're talking about equality at the workforce. The corporate culture has changed so much since the days of Henry Ford, who was, of course, no great advocate for workers' rights. But Ford wanted his employees to make enough money that they could actually afford to buy his cars. And that kind of corporate conscience, if you will, has really disappeared in the last several decades as we've seen corporations simply be motivated by profit.
So just in the last minute or so then, Rebecca Smith, what do you think will change our attitudes culturally to make this kind of greed unacceptable and to demand? I mean, for example, in the state of California, they passed legislation to raise the minimum wage to, I think, $10 an hour, which is still pretty low. Federally, it's just obscenely low. What, $7.75 or something ridiculous?
It hasn't been raised since 2007.
Right.
It's $7.25.
So tell me.
The federal minimum wage for tipped workers is a scandalous $2.15 per hour. $2.13, excuse me.
So you couldn't even afford the bus fare to get to work, right?
That's right.
So what will it take culturally? Because, we're always told about how great this country is, the greatest on earth, has the best healthcare, the best this, the best the everything, and all that stuff is just, this conversation and the facts that we're talking about just absolutely make a mockery of all of that stuff. So at some point or other, I know, it's not considered patriotic to complain, but this has reached a point of obscenity. So what's it going to take?
Well, I think some of what it's going to take is already happening. As I've said, we've seen a huge increase in low-wage worker activism, activism and direct action strikes from low-wage workers themselves. But I think we're seeing kind of more and more ordinary people saying enough is enough. At the last election, little town in my home state of Washington, SeaTac, where the SeaTac airport is located, voters voted in a $15 an hour minimum wage. We have similar higher minimum wages in airports around the country from Miami to St. Louis. And I think when you ask regular people what is a fair wage, they will tell you something much higher than what is the current federal minimum wage, certainly, but even higher than what are some of the higher state minimum wages like California's and Washington State's.
Well, Rebecca Smith, I thank you so much for joining us here on Thanksgiving to talk about the extent to which our fellow citizens are being denied a living wage and are not enjoying the fruits of this holiday, which, again, is perhaps the nicest tradition that we have, but we simply can't be enjoying our turkey and stuffings and all of the fun and fellowship of family without at least, paying some attention to this terrible disparity in wealth and opportunity.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and hopefully that workers all around are having a happier Thanksgiving than those who are working at Walmart today.
Again, I've been speaking with Rebecca Smith, who's the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project, where she focuses on international human rights and labor rights, immigrants and work, enforcement of workplace standards, and unemployment insurance. She has testified before Congress and several state legislatures on these issues and has an article at the Huffington Post, Working Poor This Thanksgiving. We're going to take a brief station break and we're back talking about the growing demand at food banks since the recent cuts in food stamps.